The verse today is Galatians 4, verses 1 through 11. My point is this, heirs, as long as they are minors, they are no better than those who are enslaved, though they are the owners of all the property. But they remain under guardians and trustees until the date set by the Father. So with us, while we were minors, we were enslaved to the elemental principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, saying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child, and if a child, then also an heir through God. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to beings that by nature are not God's. Now, however, that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and beggarly elemental principles? How can you want to be enslaved to them again? You are observing special days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid that my work for you may have been wasted.
Nice weather we're having today, rain, cold. You know, the trickle raindrops, when you're a bald person, that's just torturous. I just want to show you right there. That's not fair at all. I remind you of what's to come. We will have a season of color. This is the season that we acknowledge Easter season, but it's also the time that we bring some brightness into our world. We've lived in the gray for a while, and now we have some brightness. But anyway, back to the gray. We are doing this letter from Paul to the Galatians. And this is a monumental task that Paul is undertaking here. Every one of us has, whether we are have been born believers or not, just in the very nature of our culture, we have grown in awareness. See, you said that you liked me because I didn't read my sermons. This is where that goes. I'm not even sure why I'm here, but we know about God. Whether we believe or not, we are aware of God. That's the culture that we live in. But in Paul's time, the Galatians that he is preaching to, they are aware of multiple gods. They have been idol worshippers all of their lives. And so for Paul to, they not only worship different gods and idols, they worship in some aspects of their faith, they worship nature. They worship things carved out of stone, carved out of wood, all of this kind of stuff. And so Paul, to have them kind of grasp the idea of a monotheistic God is quite an undertaking. For him to expand something that the Israelites had known for generations and grew up with to a place that was unfamiliar with it, this is a huge undertaking. And so when he has people when he's getting them to think of a God that is not about the stuff, but about something bigger, when he has the problem with what he calls the false teachers coming in and saying, no, it is about some things and some stuff, he gets really panicky because they're tripping the people that he's trying to get into this monotheistic God thing. He mentions a couple of things here known as the elemental principles of the world. He mentions it twice. Galatians 4:3, we read it. So with us, while we were minors, we were enslaved to the elemental principles of the world. And then he says again, now, however, that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how you can turn your back again to the weak and beggarly elemental principles. How can you want to be enslaved by them again? He's really talking about idolatry here. And here's your Greek lessons. Stoichia toi kosmo, that actually means the elements of the world. And at the time of Paul, the elements of the world were earth, air, water, and fire. We have the same elements, but we've just added space. They never looked up. We did. So that's the advancement that we've had over 2,000 years. We said, oh, you know, and so that's where we're at. And so what Paul is saying is that the Galatians of the time, they were people that worshipped things. It was all about stuff to them. The many gods that they had were carved out of wood. He's saying you're taking the elements that God created and you're worshiping the elements. You're not worshiping the Creator. And so he's trying to expand their thought process here. And the things that he's saying would have been familiar to the Israelite believers as well. Because the Israelite believers, they knew the Torah. They knew it. We always talk about like the Gospels not being written for a while and being verbal. But in this culture, memorization was huge. They knew how to memorize stuff. And when Paul's talking about the idolatry and the elements and stuff, many of them might have thought about Deuteronomy here. They were warned many, many years ago. It says, if you're falling away from God, it says, there you will serve gods made by human hands. Objects of wood and stone that neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. From there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search after him with all of your heart and your soul. The Israelites would have been familiar with this because not only did they grow up learning this, but to them they were living this now. They had been overtaken by Rome, a pagan society. They had been overtaken by people that were worshiping the gods that could never smell or eat or any of that, that were made of wood and stone. It was all around them. So they did feel like they were in this place that had been prophesied back in the days of Deuteronomy. But what Paul's point is that because of the law, they had grown up with the law of the Torah. And Paul's not saying that the law was bad. He never says that the law was bad. He says it serves its purpose, and now as heirs we've been given Christ, so we do not have to abide by the law, we abide by Christ. And so what Paul is kind of hinting at is that we can turn something as beautiful and as meaningful as the law was into a thing. We can get caught up into the mechanics, and we can lose our focus on God. It happens so easily in our lives that we can get so caught up into stuff. Even today, we might not be carving things out of wood or anything like that, but we can get caught up into stuff that we're thinking about the things rather than focusing on God. You know, I showed you those pictures of the flowers. I took these, actually. Allison and I would often go to, there was a season we were going there all the time. There's a place in Omaha called Lawrence and Gardens. Everyone's shaking their head. It's a beautiful place, isn't it? This is a place where they put, it's like flowers and different kinds of plants, and they have inside stuff and they have outside stuff. And you can go there almost every week and see something different. They're constantly changing and stuff, and it's just gorgeous. And on one of the trips that we went there, we used to call these kind of like mini date escapes. You know, in our busy schedules and stuff, we would try to find a day that we could just go out and have a day date, you know. And what a beautiful place to go. But I got a new phone that time, and I was so excited because it was the first phone that I had that you could take a picture where it blurred the background. And I thought, I'm a professional now. I can do this. You know, this is great. And so I'm all about, you know, oh, this is so beautiful. I need to capture it. And so I'm with my phone, you know, and instead of walking around and enjoying stuff, I'm going, you know, to the rose going, you know, breathe for me. Just, you know, show me the thing there. You are the light, you know, and everything like that, and stay in focus and things like that, you know, and just so affixed with that. And then in between, I'm not looking at the stuff. I'm looking at my phone. Wow, that was out of focus and everything like that. And I need to go back there. And was that a bee? No, that was my thumb. And just, you know, just all that kind of stuff. Have you ever had the experience where you are at an event or something like this and you take so many pictures and you're so, you know, about the selfies and all of that kind of stuff, that you look back on it later and your memory is limited to the images that you took? You know what I mean? I can remember these images. I have a hard time remembering the day, the in-between stuff, because I was so focused on the things and the stuff, I missed out on the experience. I missed out on what we were there for, which was a day date, a time to appreciate God's creation and each other. And I was so focused on focusing that I lost all my focus. Hey, that was pretty good, wasn't it? I should write that one down. But, you know, in many aspects, the things that we do and where our focus lies can be our idolatry. It is not always about something that is so fixed, you know, like we carve a god out of stone and we put it there and we worship it. We often think about that when we think of idolatry. But idolatry can be anything that takes your focus away from God, your worship of God. And I got so caught up into the technical and the phone and all that stuff. Now, I'm not saying taking pictures are bad or anything like that. I love these photos and I'm grateful that I have them. But I just wish I would have remembered more. I wish I would have taken the time to put the phone down and to see it as a tool, but not as something that needed my 100% focus. God needed my 100% focus that day, because I think I would have benefited so much more from that. I would have remembered not only the photos, but I would have remembered the walks in between, the conversation, the time of being with somebody that you love, of seeing great beauty. Those are the things that I wish I would have remembered more on that day. It's something that we can really lose our thought process on. Today is Palm Sunday. It's the day that we celebrate and we acknowledge the day that Jesus came through on a donkey into Jerusalem. And people gathered around and they took palm branches and they waved them in the air. And some of them would put it down on his path. This was fulfilling a prophecy, but they were excited that Jesus was there. Everybody had heard about him. And I served a church once that they had this tradition, as many churches do and are doing right now, where they would purchase a surplus of palm branches. There's places that just sell them. You know, they grow palm leaves, and to celebrate Easter, they kill the palm leaves, and they put them in the mail, and they send them to you. And then in some churches, it's the children that at the beginning of the service, they'll hit the organ and brr, 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 and the children are, you know, waving their palms. Some's hitting them, you know, people in the face, you know, and all that kind of, you're healed, you know, and things like that. And this church did that every Sunday. But the person that ordered the palm leaves, forgot. They had a lot going on. And about 3 days before Palm Sunday, there was high drama. Oh, it was bad. They were like, how could you? You forgot the palms. How are we going to do this? What's wrong with you? You had one thing in your life to focus on, and that is the palms, and you forgot the palms, and this is Palm Sunday. Oh, God, what about the children? And, you know, just everything. And this woman was just distraught and sad and everything like that. And I'm thinking, you know, I wasn't raised in a church, but aren't they just plants, you know? They were thinking, is there a church in town that meets before us? And if they're done, can we go steal their palms and everything like that? And they got so focused on the branches, they forgot what the meaning of them were. They thought that their Sunday was going to be ruined. Their worship, they thought, was just going to be ruined because we don't have this thing. We don't have this thing where we wave them in the air. I suggest that they just paint the kids' hands green and just let them go like that. But the idea of Christ entering into Jerusalem on that day, it was never about the palm branches. We call it Palm Sunday, but what it really was Christ entering Jerusalem. It was about Christ fulfilling his mission. It was about Christ being received by people and being there. Do you think that the people that were there waving their palms worried whether they had them or not? Do you think that the people that didn't have palms felt like they could not show up that day to welcome Jesus? That's what Paul was talking about to the Galatians. We can get so caught up into the thing and the structure, and we have to do it this way and we have to do it that way, that we sometimes lose our focus of why we're doing it, of what it's all about. It's not about it's not even about the service. It's not about the songs. It's not about the props. It's about our experience together of celebrating the fact that Christ entered our lives, that Christ was there for us. That is a moment that we should continue to celebrate. That's a moment that tells us that Palm Sunday is just another day in which we have Christ in our lives. For us, every day should be a Palm Sunday. Every day should be an Easter. Every day should be a Christmas. Every day should be the time that we experience the love of Christ. But sometimes we start our day and we look at our schedule and we look at all of these things and we forget, we start to get into the motion and the rule of law for our lives. We forget to worship the one that brought us here. That's what it's all about. That's what it's truly all about. We can take pictures of all the flowers we want, but until we experience who made them, I think we're missing out on a lot. Until we experience the presence of God in our lives without anything. It doesn't matter what you wear. It doesn't matter, you know, what you look like. You know, when churches, when I was a kid, I went to a church maybe once or twice, and every time I got there, all I remember is my father arguing about how he had to wear his uncomfortable pants. Because that's what we had to wear. You know, you had to dress like this, you know. I wear this jacket just because, you know, I'm fat and I like to, you know, layers help, you know. It's not about any type of worship or anything like that. It's just, I think I look kind of cool in it, you know. That's my wife laughing over there. That's my wife. Yep. But we know, hopefully, that whatever we're wearing, however much money we make, wherever we live, whatever our story is, whatever our background is, whatever we have done in our lives that we regret, that we are experiencing the presence of Christ in our lives. We are experiencing Palm Sunday every day. And that experience is Christ coming in and saying, I am here for you. I am here for you. I hope we feel that today, regardless of what we wave in the air. Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, help us remember it's not about the show. It's not about the things. It's not about the stuff. It's about you. It's about your presence in our lives. Help us to just know that. As Deuteronomy said, we don't get that by looking at the stuff. We get that with our hearts, with our soul. Help us to spend time there for a while to remind us that we're loved, to remind us that we love you, and to remind us to love our neighbor. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen.